May 9th. I can't sleep. This has gotten to me. I owe Mr. Donner too much to stand by and see him robbed this way. I'd be as guilty as Gimpy by my silence. And yet, is it my place to inform on him? The thing that bothers me most is that when he sent me on deliveries, he used me to help him steal from Donner. Not knowing about it, I was outside it, not to blame. But now that I know, by my silence, I am as guilty as he is. Yet, Gimpy is a co-worker. 3 children. What'll he do if Donner fires him? He might not be able to get another job, especially with his club foot. Is that my worry? What's right? Ironic that all my intelligence doesn't help me solve a problem like this. May 10th. I asked Professor Niemer about it, and he insists that I'm an innocent bystander and there's no reason for me to become involved in what would be an unpleasant situation. The fact that I've been used as a go-between doesn't seem to bother him at all. If I didn't understand what was happening at the time, he says, then it doesn't matter. I'm no more to blame than the knife is to blame in a stabbing or the car in a collision. But I'm not an inanimate object, I argued. I'm a person. He looked confused for a moment, and they laughed. Of course, Charlie, but I wasn't referring to now. I meant before the operation. Smug, pompous. I felt like hitting him, too. I was a person before the operation, in case you forgot. Yes, of course, Charlie, don't misunderstand. But it was different. And then he remembered that he had to check some charts in the lab. Dr. Strauss doesn't talk much during our psychotherapy sessions, but today, when I brought it up, he said that I was morally obligated to tell Mr. Donner. But the more I thought about it, the less simple it became. I had to have someone else to break the tie, and the only one I could think of was Alice. Finally, at 10:30, I couldn't hold out any longer. I dialed 3 times, broke off in the middle each time, but on the 4th try, I managed to hold on until her voice. At first, she didn't think she should see me, but I begged her to meet me at the cafeteria where we had dinner together. I respect you. You've always given me good advice. And when she still wavered, I insisted. You have to help me. You're partly responsible. You said so yourself. If not for you, I would never have gone into this in the first place. You can't just shrug me off now. She must have sensed the urgency because she agreed to meet me. I hung up and stared at the phone. Why was it so important for me to know what she thought, how she felt? For more than a year at the adult center, the only thing that mattered was pleasing her. Was that why I had agreed to the operation in the first place? I paced up and back in front of the cafeteria until the policeman began to eye me suspiciously. Then I went in and bought coffee. Fortunately, the table we had used last time was empty. She would think of looking for me back there. She saw me and waved to me, but stopped at the counter for coffee before she came over to the table. She smiled, and I knew it was because I had chosen the same table. A foolish, romantic gesture. I know it's late, I apologized, but I swear I was going out of my mind. I had to talk to you. She sipped her coffee and listened quietly as I explained how I had found out about Gimpy's cheating, my own reaction, and the conflicting advice I'd gotten at the lab. When I finished, she sat back and shook her head. Charlie, you amaze me. In some ways, you're so advanced, and yet, when it comes to making a decision, you're still a child. I can't decide for you, Charlie. The answer can't be found in books, or be solved by bringing it to other people. Not unless you want to remain a child all your life. You've got to find the answer inside you, feel the right thing to do. Charlie, you've got to learn to trust yourself.